In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Bill Bryson, in his book, A Walk in the Woods, chronicles his hike through the Appalachian Trail, the longest continuous footpath in the world, 2,200 miles of wilderness, filled with bears and moose, bobcats, rattlesnakes, poisonous plants, ticks, weather, insects, unreliable maps, and a fickle companion. He struggled through the wilderness, one foot in front of the other, mile after mile, day after day, week after week, month after month. And that was only until he made it halfway to Front Royal. It is a comical journal. A few weeks ago, I went to the AT and I went 10 miles. I was exhilarated to finish. I don't know why. Guess I was tired. In our gospel, we find Jesus wandering in the wilderness, contemplating what is going to happen. He goes there and he begins his suffering for you and me as he fasts. He was well aware that he came to live and die in a very unpleasant way. Here he is met by his enemy, his old enemy, who came to tempt him. Knowing your opponent is certainly one of the lessons that comes in Matthew chapter 4. The devil tends to use the same game plan again and again in the way that he deals with us. His temptation tactics are so well known today. St. Matthew even uses the title, the tempter, for Satan. So when St. Paul says, regarding the devil, we are not to be unaware of his schemes, he is telling us to be on high alert for those times and those opportunities that Satan seeks to bring you and me down. I call them the four D's. The first D, which Satan loves to use against us, Christians, is discouragement. I know that a lot of people today who are discouraged, we live in an environment which makes us increasingly more and more tries to make Christianity irrelevant and meaningless to the way that people live their lives. Satan thrives on discouragement. He loves to hit Christians when they are in the wilderness, just like he did Jesus in our text. Satan has to pick his opportunities to attack the Lord and the Lord's people. So he looks for those times when we are down and we're walking in the loneliness of the wilderness. Discouraged Christians who are overwhelmed by stress, exhaustion, circumstances that bring them down are those times that he seeks out. For when sickness or death becomes overwhelming, he can ask us, if God really is God, if he really is a loving God to us, he can ask just like he did Jesus, if you are the Son of God, or in your case, if you are a child of God, then... And he tries to turn life into a meaningless, hopeless existence. And without the Lord, that is exactly what it is. Satan loves to convince us that life is boring, it's meaningless, and without hope. And he uses discouragement as a launching pad for further attacks. The second D in his arsenal against us is desire. When the Creator made us, he put within us a desire to know God, to love God, to seek God. The human heart is never ultimately satisfied in itself. Satan takes the very good things, like food, trust in the Lord, and honor. And since he has no ability to create anything good, a single thing, he takes those things that God has made for a good purpose, and he perverts them. And he does it by tempting you and me to desire, to use the things that should have been devoted to the Lord and to our fellow human beings, and to use it instead to satisfy ourselves, our self-centered desires. And Jesus says, no one can ultimately satisfy the longing of the human heart. The third D among Satan's weapons is deception. The devil deceives. He tries to convince us of things that aren't true. Because we sometimes find ourselves in the wilderness, and we will this side of heaven. Satan is not above even using the Word of God to deceive us. For example, today in the text, Satan actually quoted Psalm 91 when he was trying to get Jesus to leap from the temple and reveal himself as the Messiah for all to plainly see. And it is true, Psalm 91 does say that God will command his angels concerning us, and that on their hands they will bear us lest we strike our foot against a stone. But Satan didn't continue the text. He did not read the entire psalm to Jesus. If he did, he would have quoted the words, "Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place. No evil shall be allowed to befall you, because he holds fast to me in love. I will deliver him." All of those verses apply to the man or woman who puts his or her trust in God alone and clings to God in the midst of the storms of life. Satan was asking Jesus to abandon God and to force God's hand, which was the exact opposite of Psalm 91. But that's the deceiver that he is. This world's history is full of episodes where, in the name of God, the most horrible atrocities were committed. That's deception. The basic creed of Mormonism is that one day every man may actually become a god. As they put it, as man is, God once was. What God is, man may one day become. Where have you heard that before? It went something like this: your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. That's deception. The fourth D is division. Abraham Lincoln warned that a house divided cannot stand. Satan knows that. But the division that he seeks is not just the one that pits man against man. Although he loves to sit on the sidelines and watch when that happens, he ultimately seeks to divide us from God and God's will. That was the ultimate temptation Satan gave Jesus. He knew where Jesus was heading. Jesus had already spoken to his disciples. He was going to Jerusalem, where he would suffer, be betrayed, arrested, handed over, beaten, crucified. Satan would do anything to stop that. He had to somehow divide Father and Son on this one. Otherwise, his kingdom would surely fall. And there could be anything, never be anything but eternal defeat for Satan and his allies. So he had to get Jesus off of that road that led to Calvary. So he offered him the provision of food. In the wilderness, Satan offered a spectacular show at the temple with cheering crowds. You can still be the Messiah if that's what you want, but you don't have to do it with a cross. Do it my easy way, far more glorious way. And at the same time, we'll both go to the Father and tell him who's really boss. He offered Jesus the world. Why save the world through a cross when you can own the entire world as my gift to you? Give up this stupid crucifixion idea. But here is where the fifth D comes into play. And it's the D that Satan hates. Because this last and final D stands for the word defeated. Jesus Christ defeated Satan for all time. Every one of Satan's temptations Jesus met head on. And he did it for you. To save you, Jesus went hungry in the wilderness. To save you, Jesus avoided the glory that could have been his. The adoration of the crowds. Instead, he got to wear a crown of thorns. To save you, Jesus gave up all the kingdoms of the world. He loved his Father to the end. And St. John tells us, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The imaginary conversation in heaven between the Father and the Son. I need you to do something for me. What is it, Father? I need you to give up heaven and go away from me for a while. How long? 33 years of their years. Why? I love them. They are headed toward hell. And it's the only way to save them. But you'll be with me, right, Father? Yes, until the end, at least. Why? What happens at the end? They will reject you. You will be whipped and beaten with pain, and you cannot imagine. You will be put on a cross. Wood will be put on your torn and beaten shoulders. They will spit in your face. They will laugh at you. They will drive hard iron nails into your hands and feet. You will gasp for breath. But you will be with me, right, Father? No, I will put all of their sin upon you, and I will utterly reject you. I will absolutely forsake you. But it is the only way I can be a just and holy God to save them. And Jesus said, "All right, I will do it." And he did it for you. He did it all for you. And now Satan sits in hell as the defeated one he is and he always will be. And even though he roams the earth, trying to devour and destroy as many as he can, he knows that he has lost the battle forever. He has lost the ability to tempt and overcome God forevermore. And something else wonderful occurred on the third day. He rose from the grave. That is the hope of all of us who are in the wilderness today. We may have our smaller crosses to bear in life out here in the wilderness, but the Lord is with us now. And He points you and me to a brighter day that is coming for all of us. And for all of us, and for all who have died trusting in Jesus. For Jesus Christ is the alternative to the wilderness. There is no more exciting adventure on earth than living life as a Christian. We have meaning and purpose in the goal of reaching heaven and taking as many of our loved ones with us as we can. Every day when you wake up, you do it with the Lord at your side. And even as the years go by and our bodies fail, the Bible says that we are one day closer to the day of our salvation. And right now, in this world, the Church of Jesus Christ is on the move. And Satan knows that we are coming for him. His days are numbered and he knows it. Be encouraged, saints of God. It's almost over. The welcome home party is almost ready to begin. Until that time, the Lord is with you. Don't be discouraged by the wilderness. And know that he who did not spare his own son for you, but gave him up for us all, how will he not give us all things in Christ Jesus, our Lord? In Jesus' name, amen.